Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Telford, joined by Josh Brown.
Hello, Scott Telford.
And Michael Games Hamflet.
Hiya, Scott. Thanks.
Hi.
I like watching you just start this podcast like this, by the way. We were just talking, and he just started, didn't he?
It's magical, man, isn't it?
I think this is the only podcast that has an actual introduction. If it's the wind-up of me and Josh, I just hit the record button, and we just go into it. Or I ask him something about Sonic, and same with Josh.
Scott Telford is the only person I know in this world who is the exact same off-mic as he is on, and I mean that as a genuine compliment. Like, I couldn't do it. I don't have that level of wit, skill, or intelligence to be like this all the time, Scott. And I'm in awe of you every day.
That's very, very nice. That's one of the nicest things you've ever said. When I tell you that I preferred Gotham Knights to God of War, you might not like that.
Well, just wait until this podcast stops and I'll have some nasty things to say to balance the scales.
Thankfully, there's a table between me and you. But for now, we'll talk about wrestling stuff because we got Michael Games Hamflet on last week and we didn't talk about wrestling stuff. We talked about everything else. We talked about gaming as a dad, or getting your kids into gaming and everything else. But we didn't talk about the history of wrestling games. Now, I feel like this is one of the most popular genres in gaming. I feel like everybody either has their favorite franchises over the years. I feel like everybody either played a SmackDown game or has played it at one of their friends' houses or whatever. And I just want to talk about those things. And also, Hamflet, you mentioned the idea of the perfect wrestling game that doesn't exist, the fact that no one's really got it right.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in time. And then we'll maybe talk about the AEW game if we've got time as well. Earliest wrestling game memories. What game got you guys in? What was your first wrestling game?
It won't surprise you now, I played them all. Like, even when I didn't own the console in question, a friend did, and that was like their house would often exist because nobody else had that console. I'm thinking of, for example, the Sega Saturn or the GameCube.
Right, right.
Like, very few people had those ones, but if there was a wrestling game for it, everybody piled around to play that game.
Yeah.
If like, especially if like wrestling was hot, which at various periods in life it was. Mm-hmm. My introduction to wrestling games was at home. It was Super WrestleMania, I think. Ooh. For the Mega Drive at home, and WrestleFest in the arcade.
Oh, God, they're names I've not heard in quite some time.
30p a play. Uh-huh. So I grew up in just outside of Scarborough, and the arcade next to where I eventually had my first part-time job selling waffles and donuts on the seafront.
Love this.
That's so cool.
Had WrestleFest in it, and it was 30p a game, and it was just a case of playing as a tag team and trying to get through the story mode and loading that thing. Like every cliched arcade story you can imagine, where you just keep filling it, and feeding it and feeding it just to try and beat the Legion of Doom at the end. Like, not a penny wasted. Mm. Genuinely, like, every memory is a happy one, even when the match went wrong or whatever. Super WrestleMania for the Mega Drive and King of the Ring for the Game Boy were the two that really stick out. It wouldn't have been a PC. Somebody I knew had a, I think it might have been a Commodore.
Okay.
Ooh.
And from a car boot sale, I bought, I think it was made by, I don't even mean Acclaim, might be a clip. Anyway, like somebody I bought from a car boot sale, I think it was called like European Rampage because I had Hogan on the cover and I didn't even have the Commodore,
right.
But I knew someone that did. Yeah. So I bought the game for like £1 and it was round their house. And I was like, this is what we're doing today. I've got this. So oh, like, do you want it technically? I mean, basically, so I can play it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Everyone had that friend. They've got the consoles.
Little dick that I was. Like, just I want to play this. So
you got to find a way.
So many early memories are of people that I know coming round with a wrestling game and saying, this is what we're doing. And you know what? They were right, because that's what we were doing.
Super quickly, aren't they? They are maybe the mecca of local co-op. I mean, you've got like split screen shooters, you've got your Golden Eyes, you've got your Halos, whatever. But like, there's something about same screen wrestling matches, all between your friends, all on the same couch, all in the same room. And a match goes on for like half an hour because everyone kicks out of everything for that long.
That's it, man. Some people have Golden Eyes, some people have Halo, some people probably have FIFA or Madden. To me, that communal experience was always wrestling games. It was me, my brother, and my cousin, who were well into wrestling at the time as well, just, you know, also enjoying this video game version. And the fact that the games were actually really good, and at the time, they felt like authentic recreations of what you liked on telly, they were great for that kind of multiplayer experience.
What was your first wrestling game?
Well, I was trying to figure it out, because the first one that I played was one that I thought sucked, and I think it might have been a really old WWF Raw game.
Right.
However, the first one that I really liked were the first two WWF SmackDown games. I think it was still
So it was Raw and Raw 2 on the Xbox, and they were both bad.
I think sucked, but SmackDown 2, was it Know Your Role? That was the first one that I loved, because that just felt like what wrestling was to me at the time. Like, it didn't feel old, and it felt modern. It felt fresh. It felt like the roster was the roster that I wanted, and I just thought it was a great recreation of it.
I completely forgot that, because back in the day when I was a kid, I used to watch WWF, and it was like, you know, obviously that whole sort of boom towards the late 90s, and I wanted to go buy a wrestling game, and I remember going to whatever store it was, and they didn't have SmackDown in, and they did have WCW Backstage Assault, which young me didn't know the difference.
Do you know this one, Josh?
No, I don't.
Oh,
no.
There's a great twist coming with Backstage Assault. there's a twist coming here.
So I remember, like, back then, I just picked up WCW Backstage Assault thinking, well, it can't be that different, not knowing there was multiple wrestling companies and the roster and everything else. And then getting back, and then they're playing as Goldberg and like Chili Willy or the hell they were called.
Yeah.
Some random dude. I made that up, but I think that is a person.
That was a person.
That was a person. And playing that, and then all the backstage stuff, all the weapon attacks that you could do. And then just that was my first experience with wrestling games. And it was
there's no ring.
No,
they loved the backstage mode so much that every match was in a different backstage area.
Yeah,
I'd have been
the king of the hardcore era.
Gutted, I'd have been absolutely gutted getting that.
I think also shout out to ECW Hardcore Revolution. That was another one of my super early ones, because that was the whole thing back then. Was, you know, what are the new mechanics that each game has? And it was like, and back then, obviously, like there were the extreme match stuff and all the Attitude Era stuff and all the, you know, we're stacking these tables if you're watching ECW, or we're doing these barbed wire matches, or we're doing these various things, TLC things, tables, dollars and chairs things that you just wanted to do in the games. And I remember every single game, every single year, you would get one and put someone on a table and see how it broke. And it was always that V shape for the longest time.
Yeah.
However, in ECW Hardcore Revolution, you pick people up and even throw them out the ring and through a table. And the table would just like squish. And it was better than the V. And it was like, that's kind of cool, I could do that. But for the longest time, I feel like the thing that it was like so many things I was excited for in games was how much carnage can I replicate?
That's exactly what I was looking for. Because when I was first getting into wrestling, we were talking about this before we started the podcast. I had a few VHS tapes, and one of them was a very old WWF TLC compendium, I suppose, where it was a lot of like Edge and Christian, a lot of the Hardy Boys, a lot of the Dudley Brothers.
Dudley Boys, not brothers.
Picturing the exact tape right now. I know the exact tape.
It was brown, wasn't it?
That's the only thing my brain does. It's a brown tape. It's got Edge and Christian on the cover. Yeah, it says TLC. It's in like a yellowy sort of font.
That exact one. So that's all I wanted from the games as well. And when you got that level of interactivity, that's kind of when I realized that I was going to be obsessed with them for life, when it wasn't just about necessarily the technicalities of the wrestling itself inside the ring. It was about getting out. It was about interacting with the referee. It was about getting things from under the mat. It was about putting people through tables. When you got that kind of level of whatever you want to do, you can probably do it. That's when I kind of was into it.
Mm-hmm. It's honestly, like, it's not just because I'm into wrestling and user into games that this is this perfect intersection of our hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
Vince McMahon, when he was marketing the WWE and trying to grow it, understood how important all of this stuff was.
Right.
So when you said back in the day there, Scott, I forget that our days, we go back slightly different to.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was going like a full decade back from the 90s, but the 99 2000 boom.
Yeah, because I blur a bit. I'm like, my, like, SmackDown was a massive deal, but that was like 98 or something.
Yeah, so like, yeah, so yeah. I came in at around 1990, which was like the first boom over here. Mm. But all I remember is having one or two tapes and an uncle that had Sky and having two action figures. It was Hogan and Warrior.
Right,
and
right.
Just replicating stuff with two toys, you know? And like, I know that that's like somebody talking about using a penny farthing now. But the point remains the same, is that like, well, if they can watch a bit of it, great. If they can interact with it, even better, mm. because then that works both ways. And then theoretically, when they've interacted with it on the game, they'll want to watch a bit more of it, mm-hmm. like on the television. Yeah. So when those SmackDown games, which are all beloved up to a certain point, as they yep. should be, because yep. they're all great games on their own steam, mm-hmm. but the first SmackDown game and the second one and maybe the third were still in that boom period, that 90s, early 2000s boom period.
So oh, yeah.
That's that perfect overlap where if you're not watching, you're playing the game. And if you've never watched and you play the game, you kind of want to go and watch afterwards.
Well, because also,
you think, well, what? So that actually happens on the telly, does it? And I watched people that I would play with who would watch more wrestling as a result of playing Warzone and Attitude, the big ones on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
The buttons were a nightmare. It was like up, down, triangle, pass the pad to your mom, take her out to your mate's house, hit select with your toe.
Pray to a god.
And then you do a Stone Cold Stunner. But like, delivering it was amazing. And I was like, is that Steve Austin? Yeah, I've heard about him. Austin 316. And then they'll watch it on the TV. So the two things, like, interacted perfectly with one another.
I will just super quickly, if you permit me, it was the Pokemon approach. It's that whole thing of like the anime and the playing the games and everything goes alongside it. Because I think that first run, obviously when the PlayStation 2 was being demoed, which is still mind-blowing. A lot of the games, even if you look at Metal Gear Solid 2 now, still looks incredible. But yeah, that whole thing of SmackDown making the generational leap and just bring it coming out mm-hmm. and like what and then there's the first screenshots from that and like oh my god look at the new character
yeah.
models
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff.
I think genuinely the games convinced me that wrestling was cool back in the day mm-hmm. because those first wrestling games that I played, it was for what I perceived to be at the time older, more outdated and more uncool roster members like yep. For me, it was like Hulk Hogan. It was like, what's that other guy who does the woos? I can't. Ric Flair. You're Ric Flair's. It was like stuff like that that I thought, even as a kid, felt a bit old hat. Felt like my dad was trying to make me like something. He's putting the jam on. He's got Hulk Hogan on
the
tapes.
That happens when we talk about wrestling in the office.
A little bit. Aye. So when you got the games and they were focusing kind of on that like kind of later Attitude Era, putting people through tables and whatnot, suddenly that clicked something in my much young, underdeveloped brain. That this was cool, this was modern, this was not my dad's wrestling, this was something completely different. Mm-hmm. And I think the games were instrumental in getting me to try the actual product on screen and getting me into those tapes as well.
I don't know if you guys had the same thing in your friendship circles back then or in your schools back then, but when the first SmackDown came out, that was like life-changing or age brackets defining because everyone was like, have you seen SmackDown? Have you seen this game in motion? Just the sheer like speed that game had. And I know that there was the likes of No Mercy beforehand, but obviously the N64 didn't sell as much as the PlayStation, whatever. But it was just like that's the first SmackDown, I feel it was a real pivotal moment in wrestling game history.
I had, so my experience of the first SmackDown was the best and worst of a situation that I think we're all familiar with at the time. My friend had a chipped PlayStation.
Everyone's friend had a chipped PlayStation.
Yeah, and yeah. like my friend who had the chipped PlayStation, his dad, around his birthday, thanks dad, got me, my friend, the green copy disc of SmackDown.
Oh, no way.
And it was like my friend was so chuffed to have it ahead of the UK release. The game played slightly differently, but because whoever had chipped it had done it slightly dodgily, like the longer you played it, the longer the loading screens were. So it became this torturous experience where the first 20 minutes, half an hour were fantastic. Chris Jericho had a triple powerbomb.
Yes,
that wasn't on the European version of the game,
right?
Which my other friends had, but this friend that had the American one, all his friends came around to his house initially to play, and like my friend had never been more popular.
I remember him doing that really dragged out powerbomb over and over
I think
again.
They added it back.
Right.
The longer the loading time went, like, my friends realised that their friend who had this was like kind of onto a bit of a loser here.
Tosh.
So I just had to wait to get the proper one for my birthday. So that's my memory of SmackDown 1. Mm. Do you know the WCW games, right?
Yeah.
The backstage assault was preposterous. Mayhem, like, similar to it. Mm-hmm. The WCW versus the World, which was yep. in the mid-1990s, mm-hmm. was kind of a bit of a... I'm speaking with no education on gaming. It's only right. from wrestling forums talking about games. Was a real... like sort of a different, an innovator mm. in how it brought like wrestling to life from a 3D point of view. There were so many wrestling games, if you can picture like the arcade view, like the side-on view.
Yeah.
Again, like Super WrestleMania, WF Raw, WrestleMania, the arcade game, they're all just, you're looking at this wrestler from a side-on, fighting another guy, and there's no dimension to it whatsoever.
Mm.
The WCW ones were the first ones to do that, And then it wasn't really, so like you had WCW and then the Attitude and Warzone games with the Acclaim.
Nearly all the same devs.
Hardcore Revolution, identical, yeah, the, like Anarchy Rules, the, like all that run. It was only when SmackDown, I think, brought all of it together. So people really loved how No Mercy played.
The WCW
ones looked and how they sounded. Mm-hmm. People loved the WWF more, I guess, so the roster was bigger. And then SmackDown felt like this coming together of all of those things.
And as well, I mean, just because it was on PlayStation, like PlayStation had so much momentum. It was like, look at Crash Bandicoot. Nothing looks this detailed. Yeah. Nothing looks this smooth. And it was like, this is the first wrestling game on PlayStation. Oh my God. And like, yeah, just capitalizing on just how popular like WWF was back then, the transition to WWE. But the interesting thing is like, as like SmackDown would flesh itself out and you had like that insane run of like one, two, the Know Your Role, Just Bring It, Shut Your Mouth, Here Comes the Pain. And then it was Here Comes the Pain is always referred to as like the absolute king, I have that on my Steam Deck. Like, it's perfect. Like, it's a perfect
form. I can feel Brock Lesnar running that follow through from his clothesline in my hands right now.
The animation was so such a step
perfect.
Up.
Perfect. Oh, yeah.
Honestly, man, I've mentioned it to you guys so many times, but I have a formative memory, and it's one that I will never forget. It's being at my house playing at the SmackDown before that, which was...
Shut Your Mouth,
which I really loved, but, you know, it was getting to the point where I was watching Brock Lesnar on screen, and I was thinking, why... Where is he in my game? And then my cousin came around the house with Here Comes the Pain in his hands.
Here comes the pain.
That visage of Brock in the front in the silhouette. I just thought, you have gifted me something I will never forget. And I never have, because that game lived up to the promise of that incredible image on the front.
I will say as well, because that game also had Goldberg. I was a Goldberg guy back then. So it was,
a long animation for the spear.
But I love that. It was super cool. But back then, though, that whole thing, because the reason I think people love Here Comes the Pain is also the last time they had the standard control set. It didn't have the analog stick stuff that they brought in with SmackDown versus Raw. As far as I know, I could be misremembering.
That's so bang right, because I can't use analog sticks. To this day, I'm rubbish on analog sticks. I'm so bang right. Yeah. I change them on football games.
Right.
I can't, like, sticks and that. It's just, there's too much movement.
There's meant to be, like,
I need my choices to be narrowed a little bit,
yeah,
like with a D-pad.
Because I remember when in all the magazine previews, you know, shout out to Official PlayStation Mag, etc. That whole run up to the next game after Here Comes the Pain was like, oh, they're overhauling the grapple system, and you'll still grab with circle or whatever, but then you would, or maybe it was the stick from the beginning, but you would have more options. The way they were selling it was like, oh, you could rotate the stick to spin someone or whatever it is. And then in reality, it just wasn't, it didn't feel satisfying. I never thought the SmackDown versus Raw games were anywhere near the original run, just because they changed the feel of it. It didn't land as much.
Better story modes.
Way better customization. Yeah, you can run JR over all day long.
There was a story, I think it was in SmackDown versus Raw 2006, maybe, or 7, where like Vince McMahon and Ric Flair, whoever, like fought for control of the company. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was just better. It had better twists than what was happening on TV at the time.
Right.
And there was a little thing within the forum communities where there's a certain point of the story, I can't even remember anymore what it was, but you just play it going, oh my God, as if you were watching the TV. It's like, Raw's terrible at the moment. At least the game's good. So the story's hugely developed. Original SmackDown season modes and the stories were terrible.
Well, there was just random inserts. So here's Michael Cole again. He's just like interviewing you for 2 minutes.
The Undertaker and Eddie Guerrero watching a diva undress. This is weird. But like,
I think as well, just to texture that part of time in wrestling history, gaming wrestling history, it was like the competitors were there. It was like every franchise per console. Like you mentioned Raw before, that was like Xbox throwing their hat in the ring. And I remember one of my friends, his dad brought us a copy of Raw home with a McDonald's. One of the friend's parents bring some fast food, and it's fantastic. Playing Raw. And then GameCube had the WrestleMania games.
Road to WrestleMania Day of Reckoning.
Day of Reckoning was like the one that was the graphics. Yeah.
So many bad ones. Day of Reckoning looked incredible.
Yeah.
It played like sludge.
Exactly, and it was, but at the same time, it was just that general sort of like console war thing. It was like, you guys have SmackDown, you guys have Raw, you guys have WrestleMania, and just like that whole sort of rush to like dominate the market. Nearly all of them were like the same devs, but still.
And that's why SmackDown versus Raw felt so big for me, because it felt like we were finally getting everything, or at least I felt like I was finally getting a complete package. Never mind when they started bringing, you know, ECW stuff in later on top of that. It just felt like I was finally getting the complete thing. I wasn't looking at the Xbox and wondering, why do you have Raw and why do I have SmackDown? Yeah. It finally felt like this has been the wrestling game that I was looking forward to for like the past few years. So for as much as I like those SmackDown games, and probably nostalgia wins out on them, those first few SmackDown versus Raw games I thought were just perfect.
Can I ask, is it accepted within you far more knowledgeable gaming types than, because it certainly is within wrestling circles, that from about, I don't know when it was, you'll know the point better than me.
Maybe.
But there was definitely a point where it just, every release started feeling like a rebadge. The changes were so...
Because the titles just became SmackDown versus Raw, and then the year that it was, it didn't have...
So the changes became so tacked on and almost non-existent that the game stopped being fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough to be a roster upgrade or whatever. But it became so apparent that the franchise had... As it always does, I'm not going to get another Marvel rant on my only second gaming podcast, but the franchise had swallowed everything else whole that the game stopped being fun because of that. Because that was certainly when I fell out of the release cycle as
Same.
Well, because the game stopped being fun to play. Because it's like, well, you haven't fixed the things that I found quite boring on the last one.
I think they kind of struggled with, because it was, like I said, it was the same dev and a lot of crossover in development staff or some certain teams doing franchises for different consoles. But then when it was still annual releases for SmackDown versus Raw and the change in the generation, the PlayStation 3 came in, the Xbox 360 came in, development, like literal developing games became harder, more multifaceted, whatever. That annual turnaround just got harder. And so they were reusing the same animations and the same engines. But it was just harder to keep quality or to innovate or whatever, which is always the thing that eventually became the case with the 2K games. Ugh. And they eventually took a year off because they finally hit the limit.
Was the cyberpunk scale disaster.
Yeah, just the breaking point.
The game existed to be memed. Mm-hmm. Like you would find a botch and then it would go online and that would be the fun in it.
Initial release weekend was hilarious.
I don't know. Again, I've got no context to this. I've got a wrestling context rather than a gaming one. In terms of big major brands releasing games, that's got to be an all-timer worst, hasn't it? Like, all the conversation was, look how broken this game is.
Yeah.
And I can't think of a Spider-Man, a FIFA, or anything with such brand recognition that's going to be bought by millions of people the world over being laughed at.
So no, I mean,
there must be examples, obviously, but I can't remember any. I can't think of a Mario that went down as poorly
on release
weekend or something. You know,
was up there with stuff like Assassin's Creed Unity was very similar because that was a game that forced that franchise as well. That used to similarly come out annually. Mm-hmm. And then that had a similarly botched release where there was all these glitches. It was a laughing stock. And then the year after that, they still had one more game because that was in development at the same time. But after that, they just said, no, we can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
That was so much of a disaster. We need to completely rethink this, similar to how WWE did.
Definitely.
But that was so big. And I think it's more indicative of how sports games especially are made now, where it's so reliant on the brand. It's so reliant on a familiar set of mechanics and characters and monetizable aspects.
It's like an extension of the marketing campaign. It's not an individual thing.
Totally, and they're just not about pushing the medium forward anymore. Yeah. It's about being that kind of additive thing to the thing that you already like, and maybe that's a result of the tight turnaround because they need to be getting out every single year.
Or maybe it's
Or
maybe it's just because they don't have to care because the money keeps rolling in. I don't know, but
I think like that whole thing across the late 2000s was just like you said. It was like it is part of the marketing. It's part of the overall. Just like you'll get your wrestling game every year. And there was no competition for ages, and then like it took until the breaking point with 2K for them to take a break. And then this year's WWE game is like fantastic, like the best it's been. Because I'm
fascinated by this. I had no clue.
Oh man, like I mean, they've not like.
Hasn't cut through to wrestling fans this conversation about this game being as good as it is,
because I feel like a lot of people are just like, oh, it's a 2K wrestling game, it's just going to be the same old S over and over again. But because they had to care, they had to get it right, they took a year off and they changed the release date around. It came out in like March or May or something rather than later in the year, and it gave the dev team more time. Like I said, they had to get it right because there was this whole thing around whether, like, you know, WWE were fed up with the state of 2K20 and they were thinking about maybe giving the license to someone else, etc. And it felt like they needed to get this thing right, and for me they absolutely did. Like, they made it way more arcadey. They make it so that you're not just having to worry about the simulation aspects of stuff. You can do like punch, kick, flurries and go straight into a grapple. They make it so that if you push a grapple button after like square, square, triangle or whatever it is, you'll go into an animation that goes into a grapple. It's just way faster. And it's just all the signature stuff. They build in really cool momentum moves based on how the matches go, and you can kind of pull a finisher out of nowhere. You can also like bank the ability to kick out regardless of anything. So if you have that stored.
Great.
Yeah, that's like save feature. That yeah. for like, and also there's a match rating thing. So it's like if you're having this
that's
incredible
banking a finisher.
Well, you can be.
Banking a kick out is as good as banking.
Exactly.
A finisher,
and it's like, and there's a whole bunch of signature moves per person. So, like, it depends what it is. Some of them, it has the Hogan Flair style thing, and they just tank a few hits. They sort of no sell, and they come back shaking, and then they can do like a flurry in return. Or you can just bank this kick out thing for the, you know, maybe you're already having a 4-5 star match because it's tracking it in the corner. It's gone back and forward a few times. And then you go down for the count, and you would you would get pinned in the older games, then you bank that kick out. Yeah. You make a point of doing it between 2 and 3, so you get more audience points and it's a bigger match. And it's like, you're thinking about the audience, you're thinking about the performance you're putting on, you're thinking like a wrestler or whatever. And I love that game. I think it's really, really, really well done. And it's the best one they've done in like 15 years or something. I mean, I stopped buying them around about 2008 or whatever it was anyway. Because I always, my love of wrestling games lasted longer than my love of wrestling back in the day, because I always thought the mechanics, that you still play them really, really well. But yeah, this year's WWE game is a really good game, like regardless of that stuff.
The thing with that.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Is that everything you've just said there is so tantalizing. As someone who hasn't played a wrestling game since those late period SmackDown versus Raw titles, who hasn't touched a 2K version of the franchise because of the reputation that eventually got. Mm-hmm.
I'll say I only got it because of AEW, because of the customization stuff. I was like, I can just make this an AEW game.
Well, so yeah. Speaking of, right, I want an excuse to jump back into a game like 2K22, uh-huh. But I'm never going to be able to justify spending full price on it, or even £30 on it, or probably even £20 on it, because I don't like wrestling that much. What if it's not good? What if I don't play it? The thing that I like that AEW has just announced is that that game is going to Game Pass, because instantly that was a game that I wouldn't have bought for full price, because I'm not that into wrestling.
That's what we're doing that night. Precisely. I'm bringing the shopping offers and we're just making a night of it on AEW.
Yeah, I was like, Michael, if you buy it, I suppose, I'll bring the beers, I guess. I'll come around. You can tell me what to do. But the fact that that's coming to Game Pass, if 2K22 came to Game Pass or PlayStation Plus or wherever, I'd have played that immediately. I'd have given it a chance. And what I'm going to ask you then, do you think that's the way that these games could survive? Because we've been so burnt by annual releases. Is a game like this coming to Game Pass potentially going to get more people in and maybe build confidence, hopefully, that wrestling games generally shouldn't have this reputation tied to them, shouldn't be looked through the lens of 2K22, that they could be something better and as impactful as they used to be? I don't know, because I think a lot of people like me are scared to jump in.
I think it's an interesting thing, because wrestling gameplay crosses over with 3D brawlers, which you don't get anyway. Like, 3D brawlers seldom exist. 2D brawlers have had a massive resurgence recently, like TMNT and Mother Russia Bleeds and everything else, but the 3D stuff, it's like, just get that set of game mechanics in front of people, and hopefully the AEW game plays really well, and it's immediate. Like, you'll immediately feel satisfied. Like, who doesn't love doing big dumb slams and diving off a turnbuckle and whatever? That stuff can be super immediate. So I think they're just banking on almost the wider genre pull, because it's like there's a whole wing of gaming that just isn't catered to in regards to 3D brawlers. You just don't get them anymore.
That's, when you say 3D brawlers, just so I'm clear, is that any kind of combat? Because
if you think Streets of Rage in 3D, like it's there's a handful of games like that, like Urban Reign, Tekken had the Tekken Force mode that was like their take on it.
Because when you mentioned that, I was thinking of, because again, I'm just a wrestling fan, really. Mm-hmm. But when I first got the PlayStation 3, I got, because I had it in HD as well, I got Fight Night Round 3.
Nice.
And oh my God, I'm not a boxing guy, but Jesus Christ. Like yes. The knockout animations, how it felt again when your boxer was knackered, but you had that one sweet punch. And you same for the early UFC releases. Mm-hmm. All of these predate me having kids. These like the absolute tail end of me still being able to keep up with the cycle.
Right, right.
And I just, when you've mentioned 3D brawls, I was thinking there about, well, what was making me dip my toe into sports I'm not interested in for games that I wouldn't normally get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's, I suppose, what they're aiming for with the CW one.
I wonder what, just for the whole thing of like offering up this sort of like platter of titles to people, whether it's on PlayStation Plus or Game Pass, because you mentioned like, you know, if you had 2K22 on any of these, you would give it a shot. They have an older 2K on there. It's not 2K20. I think it's 2K19. I think it's the Steve Austin one. Cause like they do a different campaign mode and I think it was Steve Austin's one. So you can jump into an old wrestling game, but it's not the good one. It's fine, well, but it's not 2K22.
The thing with me is right. And I was going to ask you about this earlier. So thank you for giving me a segue into
easy.
I don't care about these annualized games past the year that they've been released in.
Right.
I'm not playing 2K19 because in my head, I have been a kind of encouraged by the publishers of these games to view that as old and outdated.
Right.
And I think the fact that games like, you know, older FIFAs retail in secondhand shops for like 99 pence 2 years after they launch is indicative of how those annualized releases are just treated as disposable after a certain window. And it's a sickness.
Then we got FIFA at home and it's FIFA 19.
Well, exactly that. I can't help but think that if I'm going to invest in one of these games, if I'm finally going to make my grand return to wrestling games,
as well you should,
it's got to be the new hotness. It's got to be reflective of what's going on now, and it's got to be reflective of all the modern mechanics. Because to me, I still hold on to the idea that sports games, and WWE included, whether 2K, whether it's SmackDown versus Raw, whatever, should be pushing the genre forward, should be pushing the medium forward. You mentioned there, Hamflet, about Fight Night Round 3. Like, when I first picked up, I think it was Round 4 was my first one that I got in on. And I was looking at the graphics. I was looking at how impactful it felt, the character customization options. It felt as opulent, and it felt like it had the production values of like a Sony first party exclusive. It felt like they weren't just resting on their laurels in a way that I think sports games are now. Like, I pick up a FIFA, and it looks all right, but it doesn't look like it's pushing the boundaries, are pushing technology forward in a way that the wrestling games used to, in a way that the Fight Nights.
Well, like we're chasing a certain bar, a certain like either a replication of what you're watching on TV. That's an interesting thing with wrestling games specifically as well, or maybe just sports games in general. Was we started with arcade stuff, arcade gameplay, snappy kind of feels to the action or whatever it was, and then wrestling games in particular went down the simulation route, and a lot of people like got sick of that stuff. And there was even that WWE game, is it All Stars? Was the really over the top one?
Loved it.
Yeah, exactly. That was like their return to like Def Jam style over the top combat, and it was great. And there was another one, I'm not going to be able to remember the name of it, something like Legends of Wrestling.
Legends of WrestleMania.
Okay.
You had to replicate all the old WrestleMania moments.
Yeah. And it was like Andre and Hogan and stuff. And it was like they occasionally dipped their toes into the arcade stuff. I know Legends of WrestleMania is older, but WWE All Stars came amongst the simulation push to kind of just test the waters and see if people would respond to it. And they did it again a few years ago, that time when they missed the annual release and they put out like Battlegrounds. Battlegrounds was just a bit nothing.
You could fight in the jungle and you could throw into a crocodile's mouth or something like
that. It was like, because the 2K did it for the NBA games as well, NBA Playgrounds, which I really like, but that was their attempt to be like NBA Street. And it's like, Battlegrounds, same. Battlegrounds was trying to be like the old arcade wrestling games. But the interesting thing overall is that the AEW game is directly trying to be like the 90s feel. Whereas, and so 2K22, like I said, they sped it up. They made it way faster. But they kind of walk a line between the simulation stuff because you are putting a good match on. You're getting a match rating. So it's like that. It's like, where do you try and walk that line? I like the arcade stuff personally.
Well, this, I'm going to butcher the, like, articulate this, but I've explained this to you before a lot, Scott. All I want from a wrestling game, more than anything else, is basically impossible to create.
We should pivot into your, because you've mentioned this to me and Josh before, the perfect wrestling game that doesn't exist.
And I'm not sure I ever can. Like, this is me on my knees begging for developers to make it. This is not somebody, I'm not coming on here and saying, right, this is what you should do, like, find a way, because I've never seen it done and I'm not sure it can be.
Okay.
The problem with wrestling games is that ultimately it's the problem with where wrestling sits. So we've just talked about sports games and we've talked about action games and simulation, and wrestling, unfortunately, is all of those things.
Yep.
But as a game, it's none of them.
Hmm.
Wrestling, like any wrestling game, is ultimately a Street Fighter or a Tekken or pick your, you know.
Like a brawler thing.
A brawler, beat 'em up, I forget which one it is. It's one of them with wrestlers in it. That's what a wrestling game is. You are fighting to win. And when you were talking about 2K22, my face was kind of lighting up because I was thinking, hang on, banking a kick out, because then you have the opportunity to be battered by the computer. The computer, something within that game's engine can just turn a dial and all of a sudden the computer is decking you, but you bank to finisher.
But you, so, yeah, you know
so
that you
know
can
you're not completely out of it. You're going to keep at this. And if you kick out between 2 and 3, your star rating's going to go up. That is the closest I think a game has ever come to answering my big problem, which is that I watch wrestling for the beat of the story and for the drama. And unfortunately, when you're playing against the computer or with your mates, you can't replicate the drama unless, like wrestling itself, you agree to create drama.
Yeah.
The only time we've ever sort of even approached it in wrestling games, and you'll have both had this situation where you're all around your friend's house, is on guest referee mode, where you blind at the 10th time of asking, you're not going to turn on your friend. And you're not. You pick Shawn Michaels, and he's in his referee shirt, and this time, you're not going to super kick the Rock when he goes to people's elbow. And you can do it anyway. Right? You're going to do it anyway, because it's just absolute patter, right?
That, same with setting people up on tables and stuff. It was like, you need them for the spots.
Yeah. That captures the drama of, oh no, you got me again, because you've just like screwed your friend. You've like stabbed
them. And then you fight harder to try and like overcome.
Stab them in the back, right? Mm-hmm. But again, like if it's just a dominant, say I'm better than you, Josh, right? We're playing a wrestling game, I'm just loads better than you.
Yeah.
It doesn't replicate a squash in wrestling.
Yeah.
Because there's not that, oh my God, he's out there killing a guy. It's just this boring, oh yeah, I've got you. I'm going to work myself up and then I'm going to hit you with a finisher.
Yeah.
You know, there's no sort of, gee, get the ambulance, he's dead. It's just, yes, I'm better. I'm a better player than you.
Well, that's...
But equally, if we're having a really even match, I've got to let you back into it. Say I'm the babyface and you're the heel. I've got to let you back into it so that I can then win it. You've got to let me back into it at a certain point. It is so difficult to replicate the ebb and flow of a wrestling game without it just becoming a beat 'em up with wrestlers.
Yeah.
And
they've
what
definitely
you were describing
tried.
There, Scott, is that's the closest I've ever heard it sound.
Yeah, you definitely feel like that when you're playing 2K22 because you do have match momentum. Like that star rating will go up and down depending on how good quote unquote the match is and whether you're replicating moves and when you're doing big high flying spots or big power moves or whatever it is, things that an audience would respond to in general. And you also have the signature moves, like I said, the kickouts or like hulking up kind of thing or whatever it is. But I feel like the way that you described it was like you'd have to play into acknowledging that it's fake stuff.
Yeah.
You'd have to do, because all those things whenever you're watching a wrestling match where you can see them talking to each other, you can see them sort of planning the next thing, you'd have to replicate that, and you could only really do it online. Like if you were both playing and you go into a certain grapple, like some collar elbow type, whatever it is, where you both lean in and you could have a little thing that come up on the side saying, I've just pushed a button saying I want to do this, and you could choose whether to go for it or not, and then it's like you could lean into like working stiff or whatever. You could do something where you don't let the person do it. And what, you botch the move or something?
You
maybe
see
they
how
get
hard
injured.
This is to sell to kids. It's so common. Like, I don't think kids watch wrestling anymore and assume it to be real. I remember being very young and straight away that bubble being burst, and that not being the point.
Oh
and
no, it's just
when you realize I don't care.
The reason like I love it like is that it's acrobatic stage theater. Like if I was watching a stage play and they were fighting, I would still be like they're still picking each other up and doing these big moves. It's still perilous. It's still
there's
this
a
like
common
show.
Misapprehension that like wrestling fans don't know it's fake. The idea is not knowing it's not real. The idea is wanting to pretend it's not for the duration of the match. That's all it ever really is. My kids ever watch it and they just see something like the first thing I'll say if they ask if hitting free, I'll say, oh no, they're just pretending to hit each other.
Yeah.
But it looked like it really hurt him, didn't it? So I'll just try and put across what they're trying to do. But that,
then, yeah,
I was just from saying, a game that you're trying to market is... It feels like an impossible job.
I think you have to lean in, like I said, to that side of it. And then like, maybe you choose to actually land a big hit in, which like gets like a certain sort of amount of momentum, a crowd thing, or a commentary pop or something. Like, oh my God, I just heard that from whatever.
Is there a function where you can create a wrestler or create a wrestler's career that people can then download or buy for themselves online? Because the idea of making yourself a draw is interesting to me.
Like a Twitch streamer.
You've
like
had so many great matches in a row. And your character, like Scott Tailford, has this really cool gear. And all of his matches are now hitting 5 stars.
Right.
That people want to download him themselves and play as Scott Tailford. And you've effectively made yourself a draw within the universe.
Oh, I thought you meant like they were affecting the storyline. Like you become this draw in like whatever this game's universe is.
I mean, I suppose how wide can you open the
net?
It's online, I guess. But something like that would be quite interesting because that replicates somebody becoming a star and getting pushed.
But I feel like that's my overall thing with this is, and you'll know more about this, just in terms of like general wrestling discourse, is like how much each company wants to steer into it's a show, it's kayfabe, it's whatever. Because I feel like even watching like press scrums, I love the fact that AEW do press scrums. And like, even then though, sometimes when different wrestlers go on the press scrum or when they go on that RJ City talking show thing, sometimes they're still in character and sometimes they are the real them. And I think even they don't necessarily know how they should be when they're
wrestlers
on camera that much.
Between tweets.
Yeah.
It's so blurred now, so blurred.
And it's like even that, it's like either the companies themselves, like, you know, they have to try and walk that line themselves. Yeah. I think the biggest barrier to the suggestion that you've got is like the companies themselves or wrestling as a medium going like saying to the wider audience, we know it's not actual fights, but it, like I said, it's like stage theater.
I would love to see that, but I don't think would ever sell because of the reason you said, because of like the kids who are playing these games. Like I remember when I was a kid, I would play wrestling with my friends, you know, in real life, doing the moves and whatnot. And it's like, we knew the wrestling itself was fake.
You would take your spots up, wouldn't you?
Well,
like, I'm going to go for that. Or would you not?
He's the thing, right? Because when I used to play it with like my brother and my cousin and whatnot, like we would just try to beat the piss out of each other and we wouldn't book it or anything like that.
Not
it
like, I'm going to go up for a choke slam now. You wouldn't?
No.
No.
We would maybe do a little bit of it, but we wouldn't base the sessions around that. But I remember playing wrestling for the first time with other friends. And they were trying to book it. They were trying to map out the spots. They were saying like,
because you realize how hard it is if the other person's not cooperating. Over. Give me your leg.
It's like, oh, you could just, you know, break out of all of these pins if you really wanted to. It's not hard to get your shoulders off the floor. Yeah, totally. But playing that for the first time with these other friends who wanted to do all of that kind of like technical stuff and book out the storylines, I thought, no, this isn't what I want. I want to indulge in the fantasy and I want to, when I play the wrestling video games, get a sledgehammer and pretend I'm killing someone. Well, you know what I mean?
That's another thing for like the way that they used to do the animations. And in the video games, you can have like a sledgehammer to the face, literally connect with the guy's face and bust him wide open. Like, but obviously in real life, you can't do that, those things unless something goes wrong or whatever it is. I keep saying whatever it is, whatever it is. I feel like the way that they do those things in the game sells that fantasy entirely in a way that you just can't do in real life.
Yeah.
But that's what made me favor the arcade feel to it, because it was just like you can absolutely clobber a dude. Like you said, here comes the pain. If you're clotheslining someone as Lesnar, they go the F down in a way that they depends on how they take the move in real life, whether or not they actually do get completely flattened or not. And that's the kind of thing that I feel like to bring around to the newest AEW game, they're trying to get back to you, which is like a simple set of mechanics that indulges in almost the super heroic versions of each of these characters. Like they're not worrying about kayfabe stuff.
No Mercy was beloved for that. And that's definitely what they're chasing with.
Because when I was younger, it was always like, I remember a lot of people talk about why they wanted to be wrestlers. It's because they're almost like wrestlers are real life superheroes. They're doing all these crazy moves, really over the top stuff, and showboating and lifting someone above their head, which is assisted because the person on top has an arm down on the shoulder or whatever, but it looks perfect. And I just think that's, for me, that's what wrestling games nail, unless they go whole hog with the simulation stuff and you get the GM mode style stuff, which WWE still does, the games still do. But for me, they've never done it enough. I think the arcade stuff succeeded a lot more than the simulation stuff ever did.
I think the issue with wrestling games is that every fan of either video games or wrestling like wants something different. Like, I know you guys were just talking about how beloved those arcadey games were.
Yeah.
But to me, like that, I hated that style of it because it felt
The older games.
Yeah, because it just felt to me at the time, and even now to an extent, so outlandish that it wasn't believable.
When you can jump off Times Square all the way down in SmackDown.
That's it.
I just love that.
It got to a point where it didn't even reflect the...
jump off the SmackDown fist or whatever.
Yeah.
But it would always end in terror.
You see that weird animation where you like bounce and then die.
Yeah, like a little ping pong ball or something. It's like, this wasn't worth it. Why'd I climb the stage again?
But you're on about, you know, like, I don't know, pile driving someone into a crocodile's mouth or something. Yeah. I remember like not vibing with any of that. In some of the very early wrestling games that I played weren't WWF branded
or House, where the British Bulldog's finisher was where his head became that of a bulldog.
Right,
and
yeah.
Bit your head.
Stuff like that, no
I
good.
Wasn't
that's
huge
because
on that either,
the Simpsons wrestling.
Animalities
were everywhere.
You know?
Yes, yeah.
Simpsons wrestling, Bart Simpson getting a skateboard out. I was like, you can't do that. That's not wrestling. You know what I mean?
Oh, that stuff's great.
Backyard wrestling where people are literally wrestling in their backyard. Nah, that's not wrestling to me. Too outlandish. So for me, I'm kind of asking the impossible to not give me a full simulation. Not give me a full arcade game. Meet me somewhere in the middle where this looks like telly, but it's almost the wrestling show that I imagine in my head.
I tell you what,
within the realms of possibility, but that still gets that superhero vibe. That
Sorry, I'm bursting because it is, that is 2K22. Like, that's what they nail. Like, it is that walking that line of putting a show on, but like, and doing like orchestrated, choreographed moves, and then but also you can have some melee hits, some punch flurries, whatever, that still connect as they should, and trying to walk that line. Like, yeah, I mean, like, I mean, maybe it's because I've not played one in a while, but I found that this year's WWE game just absolutely nailed it. But yeah, Hamlet, when you come down on the arcade versus simulation stuff?
I'm probably closer to Josh's line of thinking. The arcade ones I liked when I was like, as in a physical arcade machine in an amusements, I would have still preferred them to be more like a wrestling game than anything that can go out there. It's almost like a context thing for me. If I know I'm going in to a game that leans on the wacky stuff, I want it to be a wacky game. So I loved All Stars.
Yes. Big tornado chokeslams.
Yeah, the wrestlers were just absolutely massive, like 12 packs, like muscles on, like the arms were just filled with balloons. It wasn't even, like, it wasn't even your standard jacked wrestlers. They were like, just, I like that because from the very off, I know what I'm playing, and you can send somebody up into the sky with an uppercut or whatever. If it is folded into a normal wrestling game, I find it really off-putting.
Right.
I was talking about this with somebody else recently. One of my favorite things on a wrestling game was not to, I think it was Wilborn actually, was not to create a wrestler from scratch with the whatever your game. My guy was called My Cock because My Cock is always taking a beating.
Of course. Very good.
But like, was to just pick a wrestler I liked that wasn't getting pushed in the way that I would have liked on television and drive them to the world title. Yeah. And that requires realism because what I'm really shooting for is wrestler A wearing the world title in a way that they wouldn't on television. And if you then, so in order to basically, it's a universe thing, isn't it? If you've set these rules of the universe, it's like, what? I can make this wrestler that gets nothing on Mondays and Fridays. I can make him the champion on my game. If then something happens outside of the rules of the universe, it wrecks the payoff at the end.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's won the belt. How has he done it? He cut the guy's legs off with a chainsaw. that's gone then. Like,
yeah,
suspension
of
disbelief has been destroyed by a moment like that. But if I'm going in from the very beginning just for the silly stuff, I can enjoy watching wrestling like anything else be splatted onto a silly engine. You
know? Yeah, I guess they've never done, as far as I know, they've never done a wrestling game that's been that jarring. Like, they've nearly always committed to one or the other. It's just that general feel of play.
Def Jam Vendetta, did that?
That was great.
Arcade.
For New York, they're two of my favourite brawler wrestling games ever.
I know me and you differ on this, Scott, but I agree with what Hamlet was saying there, where I want to almost play within this universe. It's essentially buying action figures, but on like a much larger scale. You know, I want to do something within what the rules that they have established, more or less. And I think that's why I don't like the arcade-y versions. And it's kind of why I don't even mind if the gameplay is subpar in a lot of ways. Like, for instance, going to another series, if we're talking about the FIFA games versus the PES games back in the day, like, everyone will say the PES games have superior gameplay. They are better
games. Pro Evolution Soccer for our American listeners.
Yeah, Pro Evolution Soccer. If you like football, if you like the act of controlling teams, you know, playing football, get PES. And I realized very quickly, I don't actually, I'm not interested in the playing of the football. I'm interested in the teams because PES didn't have the official licenses. They had one or two, and otherwise it was like a London Blue, a London Red.
You must have been buzzing when the pendulum swung and FIFA had the gameplay as well.
Oh, I did. I was very vindicated.
Nicholas doesn't agree, does he?
Nah.
He thinks the pendulum never said it did. Like, but like, I think about like 2009, 2010, it definitely went back to FIFA for a bit before it went back again the other way in the late 2010s.
That's right. But
every year that was the debate, who's winning this year, and it was nearly always Pro Evo for so long.
This is it. And that's what I would ask for you, because I would discard the superior gameplay of PES because it wasn't what I wanted. I wanted it to play with specific teams, with specific likenesses.
You bought FIFA World Cup, didn't you?
I certainly did. In specific cups.
You
because
never
got
Pro Evo with a memory card?
No.
Is that before your time or not? Before
my time.
Buy eBay memory cards where somebody had gone to the painstaking trouble of doing all the names and kits.
Oh, I would love that.
You play Pro Evo, but with the stick the memory card in, you got
You know when you were talking earlier about getting WCW Backstage Brawl or whatever it was called?
Assault,
and then, you know, being annoyed that one, it was the different roster, and two, there was no ring. The first time I bought a Pro Evolution Soccer game, same experience, realizing there's Manchester United, Barcelona, and hang on, who are these other teams?
Who the hell is Chris Rolando?
Who is this guy? What's going on?
Why is Orange's 11 for the
Orange's 11,
genuine, like, tummy wayside dropping.
Well, that's kind of the thing. It's like that power of, like, brand stuff. And then they, if they can line that up with replicating whatever the energy
the
is.
Only players on the front that are in the game.
Yeah.
You can be Michael Owen or Lionel Messi or Literally nobody else, but they're on the cover. So, yeah.
What was that franchise? I mean, we should wrap the pub, but what was the name of that football franchise that there was a different version for each club? And there was a Liverpool one, a Manchester one, a Newcastle one.
Oh, God.
Is that club football?
I think it was club football.
I think it was club football.
Didn't play well.
No. But just that was someone doing a business. Just saying, what if we sort of did every individual person?
That was, well, those games, especially the Manchester United ones, because I was a Man U spot when I was younger, I would pick that game up in the shop and look at it for about 10 minutes at a time and always decide, no. Because I knew in my heart, that game wouldn't be good.
It was a good 10, 15 quid cheap, wasn't it? Because I never bought the Sunderland one, but I remember this because every Premier League team had it at the time.
If anyone listening to this bought specific versions of that game, please get in touch and let us know. For now, though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
Always a pleasure, Scott Tilford.
And Michael Games Hamflet.
Thanks so much. Please let me come back.
Any time.
I just want to say thank you, Hamflet, for being on these past 2 weeks, because I think you've elevated this podcast to a level that is not just me and Scott shouting at each other, so I genuinely am grateful for you coming on.
If you'd like that, please listen to the Monday podcast.
I think you really are the different to the person off screen, because you've been nothing but horrendous to me before we recorded. It's like, for you to flip so effortlessly on the podcast, as soon as we stop recording, the grief I'm going to get. You're never going to work this town again, old man.
I'm pulling a sledgehammer out from under this table and I'm going to town on you, my boy.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.